Whitman. 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 Come on, everybody, it's coming. Whitman. Come on, everybody, it's coming. Whitman. Come on, it's coming. Whitman.
Friday night rolls around, the Shabbos to y'all.
Will Whitman be there tonight and give Conway a call?
OCD freak loving his dog. Popping that Wellbutrin like Hanukkah guilt, fool.
Timmy's betting the ponies, losing the shekels. Sophia's sitting there saying,
I'm Babu.
Oh, Babu. Oh, Babu. Oh, Babu. Oh, Babu.
It's 8 o'clock.
Time for Hot Talk.
Make sure the radio dial's in the right spot. 97.1. Time for ear fun. With my two main men, Conway and Whitman.
8 o'clock. Time for Hot Talk. Make sure the radio dial's in the right spot.
Definitely.
97.1, time for ear funk.
Yeah.
With my main man, Conway and Whitman.
Big Timmy!
Yeah.
Studs.
All right, welcome everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show, and we are live on 97.1 Free FM. Tim Conway Jr. and Brian David Whitman, man. Look at that guy.
Now.
All right, he's out moving his car. They're painting the parking lot, and they started painting right next to his car, and he got so pissed. All right, he'll be back, though. It's Friday night, and it's we try to keep it light here. No politics, or not a lot of politics, not a lot of, you know, who said what about who. Who cares? This story comes out of, let's see where this is from here. This is from the Midwest. Mean mom gives son public lesson on drinking. Wow, wow, wow. Look at this. Jane Hableton took out a classified ad to sell her son's car after she found alcohol in it.
I'm very good. I was here, but my I'm not actually not very good.
What happened?
I have some sort of rhinovirus.
You got the rhinovirus?
I got something, man.
You and Rick Days.
But I was parked on the second level of the station, and I guess they're doing the restriping of the...
Yeah, stripe it up.
So I had to run downstairs in the final moments here and move my car to the first level.
There you go.
Well, I was able to successfully do that.
Who got you sick? Wachowski or the airplane or New York City?
I'm going to blame right now because I got to blame somebody. I am going to blame the entire city of New York.
Okay.
8.6 million New Yorkers who... were breathing on me
right
earlier this week when I had to.
You know, it could have been the airplane because people do get sick on airplanes.
Well, and you know what? It's not just when you travel from New York. It's not just an airplane. What it is the air train.
Oh, yeah.
You have to take at JFK Airport once you drop off your bad rental car. And by the way, memo to those who might be renting a car. Don't say midsize car. They're real SE cars. Just go for the SUV. It's a little hot, Randy. And so you have to get on the air train where it's just crowded with travelers and you have to travel to 8 different terminals. And you might ask, oh, what terminal were you at? 8.
Oh, boo-boo.
So that was a solid 20 minutes on the rolling on the germ train.
Well, I hope you feel better.
I hope so, too, because I don't want to...
How many sick days you got left?
They'll just won't pay me. That's what it will come down to. They just won't pay me.
All right. I got a story here, buddy, but it's going to knock your socks off.
No, I heard about this story, about this mom.
Jane Hableton, I believe. Is Hambleton.
She's getting a lot of support.
H-A-M-B-L-E-T-O-N, Hambleton. Had two rules when it came to her 18-year-old son in his car. One, keep it locked. And two, no alcohol in it. All right, she said that on Good Morning America today.
I think those are, for a mom, those are fair rules for the car.
Yeah, but if you saw a picture of the kid, you know why he's drinking, man.
Okay.
And a picture of the mom. But, yeah, the rule is keep it locked and no alcohol. So when she discovered alcohol under the seat of her son's vehicle, Jane thought of an innovative and public way to teach him a lesson. She took out a classified ad to sell his vehicle.
Whoa. without obviously her son's knowledge.
Right. And here's what the article says. Oldsmobile, 1999 intrigue. Totally uncool parents who obviously don't love teenage son selling his car. Only driven for 3 weeks before Snoopy mom, who needs to get a life, found booze under the front seat. $3,700 or best offer. Call the meanest mom on the planet.
Well, mom's pissed.
Yeah, but you know what this also might lead to?
What's that?
On Monday, we read Jane Hamilton's obituary.
Well, also, God forbid...
The son goes nuts and offs her.
Or goes to school with the gun. You know, there's that too in 2008. Let's never forget the possibility.
Right.
You piss off your kid and he doesn't just, you know, they don't just Lyle and Eric Menendez you. They don't just take you out. They go to school and take out everybody at the school.
All right, this is what it sounded like this morning.
About 70 calls, but nobody wanted to buy the car. It was all about people saying, you know, yeah, thanks for standing up for yourself. Thanks for doing what parents are supposed to do, guide their children.
And even ER nurses were...
I received calls from ER nurses and doctors and lawyers and parole officers and high school counselors and everyone saying, you know... Good job, but not very many people wanted to buy the car.
All right. That was on Good Morning America. Here's another audio piece of a mom who's selling her son's car because a dopey son had alcohol in it.
I'm a copywriter in Fort Dodge for Three Eagles Radio. And I know that if you want to move something, you want to sell it, it has to stand out. So I did not want this ad to get lost in the gazillions of ads in the Des Moines Register classifieds. So I thought, I got to jazz it up somehow so it gets noticed and we sell the car and we can put this behind us and he won't be mad anymore and it'll be over.
You know what? She is a copywriter. That is actually the lady. I don't think you recognize her voice, Tim. She wrote the Amazing Ring spot.
Did she really?
Yeah, that we were running here at 97.1.
That's pretty cool.
For the Amazing Ring. She wrote that.
All right. Evidently, this kid's... Oh, you got it there? All right, this is the spot she wrote for the station.
Want to be the best she's ever had and last longer than you ever have? You need Omazing, the comfortable vibrating ring that delivers overwhelming pleasure to both partners.
Right,
visit us
all. All right, we get it. Anyway, so she's selling her son's car.
Right.
Because this idiot had alcohol under the front seat.
Well, you know, there's a couple of different layers here at which to attack this.
When I was 18, I had alcohol in my car.
Well, when I was 18,
I kept a bottle in the back of my car, and I didn't hit it that often. But when we go to parties and stuff,
well, you're like a 70-year-old drunk who keeps.
It was a bottle of Seagram's gin.
Jesus.
And it would sit in my car and heat up in the summer and cool down in the winter. It was real nasty stuff, but it had a nice kick to it when you went to a party.
And last year all year.
Plus, it'd be like, hey, this is how I'd be greeted at a party. Wow, who's the guy losing his hair with gin on his breath?
Yeah.
Real chick magnet.
When I was a kid in high school, I don't think I ever had alcohol in my car while it was moving. But like at parties, you know... both doors open, you know, sitting behind the driver's seat. Car not in motion, ignition not turned on, but, you know, mixing, you know, pouring.
You do what you do.
Yeah. But you know what? A lot of parents, I think, especially in 2008, and I don't know what your plans are with your daughter, Sophia, and this is obviously many years to come.
Stop it.
What, Sophia?
Stop it.
Dump that bitch. She's listening too much like us.
I don't know that parents should be buying their kids, like, new cars.
Well, this isn't new. This is a 1999 intrigue.
Yeah, okay.
So it's anything but new.
Yeah, start them off with a, you know, start them off with a 99 intrigue.
Right.
You know, I don't know why I'm thinking about parents. Oh, I know why. Because back in New York, I ran into a friend who said, oh, yeah, I just bought my son a brand new car.
A brand new car?
Yeah, and I wanted to smack him in the head.
That's tough. You got to get the first one is going to be destroyed somehow.
Oh, did I ever tell you what happened to my first
car? Either an accident or he's just going to destroy the inside because it's so, you know, kids are filthy.
My first car on the New Jersey Turnpike stalled. The engine blew up. And so I, of course, moved over to the shoulder of the road. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I was going to Philadelphia to hang out for the weekend. And the tow company comes and they tow the car. And I like get a cab home. It's like $150. It's like Jesus. Outrageous. The next day, I drive my dad's car back to the station, the gas station, basically the repair shop, where my car was to be loaded at the accident scene up onto a flatbed. And they got it back, you know, over there, and they load my Honda Prelude, 89 Honda Prelude with the four-wheel steer, great car, up on the flatbed. And the guy who's, like, hooking it on there is asking a lot of questions to his supervisor, like about the mechanism of the locks and everything and the chains. So that concerns me. He throws the, you know, like the bar or whatever, you know, and the flatbed, you know, kind of like crashes into position. And my car kind of hits the front of the flatbed, begins to roll backwards. And that's about a 4-foot roll, but it feels like a lifetime. And the last words I said were, dude, the car off the flatbed, boom, you know, ass off first, you know, and then the lip of the car, you know, of course, the front bumper had to totally be replaced,
right,
comes crashing down on the edge of the flatbed.
Oh, babo.
Oh, I said it, man.
Oh, man. Tommy.
Tim, you have to understand, my stories are a little, you know, lower end tonight. It's just because of the way I feel.
All right, but a lot of people think this is a mean thing that the mom did. I don't know how I would react if my daughter was 18 and she had alcohol in the car. I'm not sure if I'd sell it or not. I don't know. I don't know what's worse. I don't know if that, like, that permanent scar of your mom embarrassing you like that amongst all your friends is worse than mom just taking the car away from you.
Well, how about?
I think this is going to lead this kid to more drinking.
Well, the alternative is, let's say mom does nothing. A potential alternative is the drinking continues and you got a dead kid.
Yeah, but I think the drinking is going to escalate because of the ad.
That's possible. But yeah, you need to do something to teach a kid a lesson that you don't drink in the car, or you might have a dead kid. I mean, you really might have not only just a dead kid, but a couple of dead friends. And
yeah. There's the new thing out that, you know, I saw a sign the other day. It says driving buzzed is like driving drunk.
Yeah, that's on La Brea. I saw that
sign,
too.
That's,
Jesus Christ.
That is 100% wrong. I mean, that's not right, that driving buzzed is like driving drunk. And I'll put that into a different context, and you tell me whether I'm wrong here.
All right.
When you could be buzzed off one drink.
I can, yes.
Right.
A glass of wine will buzz me.
But you're bombed on 7.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you were, let's say you were on a diet, and you know, you're trying to lose, you know, 15, 20 pounds.
You're talking about me now?
Yeah.
Right.
If I said to you, well, one Tommy's burger is like 7 if you're on a diet, or one Coke is like 7 when you're on a diet. One ice cream cone is like 7. Isn't that the worst advice you can give somebody who's on a diet?
I would say so.
So that's not right then.
Factually inaccurate.
You know, in Oregon, I discovered this. In Oregon, there's 2 versions of DUI. There's driving while intoxicated, and then there's driving while
Under the influence.
Under the influence.
Well, I think there used to be that in California. Didn't there used to be 2?
You can now be pulled over even if you have a sip of alcohol in Oregon.
Right. That's under the influence.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
And you get your license taken away for 30 days.
Right. You don't have to be intoxicated. You know, jail is not just for drunk drivers anymore.
They're very serious about the drinking and driving, man.
Right. So, like, if your buddies, you know, if you're at a party and you're, you know, about to leave the party and your buddies, you know, sitting there with a beer, and you say to them, hey, dude, let me catch a swig of that.
Right.
In Oregon, you go to jail for that.
You could. Yeah. Because I had my wife's cousin was arrested for it.
Oh, my gosh.
Up in Oregon. And thrown in jail. She had never done anything wrong in her life. I think she's like 26, 27 years old.
Well,
never had a ticket, never a criminal record, nothing.
How traumatizing.
I know. She had one glass of wine, then 2 hours later, like, drove home, and they nailed her.
Ooh, gosh.
Oh, that's the worst.
Poor thing.
All right, folks, mean moms, they're everywhere. There are some great moms out there. From the stories you tell me, you had a great mom.
Yeah, a great mom and a great dad. I don't have any. I really don't have any. I only have one story of my mom ever hitting me.
Oh, she did hit you?
My mom hit me one time.
See, I have one story where my mom didn't hit me.
Yeah. My mom was teaching me how to drive, oddly enough, and we were...
She smacked you in the face?
She smacked me in the face, and I deserved it, because we had just... my mom's friend and my mom's friend's daughter, you know, Aunt Nona.
Sure.
And Sammy, her daughter, Slammin' Sammy, had to be driven home because they came over to my mom and dad's house for a barbecue. And my mom said, all right, Brian, why don't you come with? And on the way home, you know, you can drive a little because your road test is in, you know, 3 weeks. I said, oh, great, Mom, thanks. You know, in that Honda Prelude.
Right.
Which I ultimately bought for my mom and then watched fall off the back of a flatbed truck. So we drop off our relatives, and then I get behind the wheel, and we're passing a shopping mall, and there's nobody in the street, and the light's red, and I come to a fairly abrupt stop, and my mom says, the light is red, you have to stop. I don't look at her, and I'm holding the wheel, and I go, I know that.
Wacko.
That was the. I only. I didn't raise my voice to my parents ever out of respect, and I lost my. I lost my cool there. And right on her, she did it pretty well because she was sitting in the passenger seat, so she got the full force of her left hand on the right side of my face.
Good for her.
Yeah, she. Yeah, I deserved it.
I wish you and I were sitting closer some nights. All right, folks, really mean mom stories. If mom was an a-hole to you, here's an opportunity for you to get even and out her on the air. 520-9710. That's our main number here in Southern California, 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. Now, I have a stack here of 700 pages and all single space typed out of all the things that my mom has done.
Yeah, I thought that was the Unabomber's manifesto. I did not know what that was when I came into the room.
I'm going to go with page 1258, line 62. All right. I had worked all summer for I stayed home instead of like going to Ohio for the summer.
Right, to see your grandparents.
Yeah, and my job was to make sure all the plants in the yard were watered, mm-hmm. the trash was taken out, the dogs were fed, the dog S was cleaned up, the toys were cleaned up, the shrubs were done.
Kind of like a maintenance guy.
Yeah, I was like the outdoor maintenance guy.
Did you get a little cash for that?
Yeah, I got $1 a week. Mm. All right, and I worked 10 weeks. And I was only like, you know, 8 or 9 years old. And I had a $10 bill. And when you're that age and you got a $10 bill.
You're Donald Trump.
You think, you know, why? I don't have to work anymore. Why am I going to school?
Right. I'm retiring early.
Yeah. This is it. And I walked around with that $10 bill and I opened up a savings account.
Oh, see, that's sweet.
On Amistoy and Ventura Boulevard. They used to be called Home Savings. And I rode my bike up there and opened up a savings account.
I did a similar thing once with $16.
Yeah. I put the $10 in there. And then the next day I took it out. So I wanted to take it to school and, you know, show people, hey, I got the 10 bucks.
Right.
So I take the 10 out. I kept doing that. Put it in, take it out. You know, it had nothing to do.
Sure.
So I took it out. And my mom takes us all to Rexall.
Oh.
Which is, you know, the local drugstore.
Sure.
And yeah, we're going to get school supplies. School started in about a week. So everybody gets their peachy folders, their pen holders, their paper, their notebooks, and everything.
Did you get some scratch and sniff stickers?
I did. I think it was beyond that. But I got all my school supplies, and everybody put their school supplies up on the counter. And my mom was paying for everybody's school supplies.
Sure.
And then she notices I have like 10 bucks, and she goes, "Hey, Tim, since you have money, why don't you pay for your own school supplies?" And it was like $9.72.
Oh, Tim, I'm so sorry. That's terrible.
And that $10 was gone. I had 18 cents. I think I spent that on a candy bar. And I'll never forget that moment because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know whether to say, no, you should pay for it. I just paid for it. And my $10 bill that I would, you know, take in and out of savings, gone. Down to 18 cents, man.
Oh, poor
that was
kid.
It, man.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know how that affected me in life, but I'm sure that there was some adverse effect.
You know what,
Jesus
Tim?
Jesus Christ.
I think there's been no residual impact. I'm not a psychologist, but
I think you know what I think the impact is. I always feel like I have to pay for everything wherever I go.
Well, you know, I had a similar situation, and I did not have this. Doesn't fit into I'm wasting time now because this doesn't fit into mean mom stories. But I remember for my birthday from one of my mom's sisters, I got a birthday card with a $20 bill in it, and we went to Toys R Us, and I had my eyes. I was 5 years old. And I had my eyes on a Bugs Bunny stuffed animal, which I really wanted because I love to watch Bugs Bunny on TV. I took that $20. I felt like Rockefeller.
15? How old were you?
I was five.
Oh, five. I was five years old. I'm sorry.
I took the $20 bill, and I was able to buy Bugs Bunny in the box.
Look at you,
yeah,
dude.
It was, and you felt like, you know, you felt really, as a kid, when you bought your own stuff, you felt
It's yours. All right. Mean moms, man. Owen in Costa Mesa. You're on 97.1 Free FM.
How you doing, guys?
All right. What do you got?
Okay. Well, basically, this is about 2 years ago. And my mom, I had a girlfriend. We went out for Thanksgiving to go visit my parents for the first time. My girlfriend ends up getting sick, and she pretty much stays in my room the entire time. Mm. And
That's the worst when you're at somebody else's house and you get sick.
Yeah, well, my mom didn't quite believe her, and so my mom pretty much thought my girlfriend at the time was a complete
whore.
B-word.
A whore?
Yeah, a whore. Yeah, you can say that. And so we come back to Costa Mesa, my mom ends up writing her a letter stating that my sperm wasn't even worth being wasted on her.
Wow.
And basically, yeah, it's a long diatribe. I'll probably email it to you guys later on tonight.
Oh, you still have it, dude? You still have
it? Still have it. It's that epic.
And did she break up with you over it?
No, but it kind of put a little rift in the relationship, and we are now broken up,
right,
more or less because of it, because my mom hated her
right
so much.
Oh, man. It's hard to bounce back from something like that.
All right, buddy, we thank you for calling. Oh, that sucks, man. Yeah, when moms get involved in relationships, you know, that's the last thing a guy wants to hear. When a guy breaks up with a chick, all of a sudden her mom's calling.
My best friend, when he was 18, 17 years old, the family went on a cruise and he hooked up with this girl from Lawton, Oklahoma. And 2 months after the cruise or whatever, my buddy, you know, took all his money from his job. He was like a part-time mechanic. Oh, and he delivered pizzas. You know, we were seniors in high school or whatever. He paid to have the girl fly from Lawton, Oklahoma to Staten Island to spend a week with his family.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Okay.
Stud.
All right. So she flies in, and, you know, the family's really nice to her. And, you know, gets laid, and it's great and everything. And she leaves back to Oklahoma, and I call my buddy the day she left because I knew he'd be down. I said, hey, dude, you want to, like, you know, go shoot some pool? You want to, like, go do something? You know, and he's like, nah, I don't want to do anything. I said, what's the matter? He said, well, my mom was helping – Jenny was her name. My mom was helping Jenny get her bags together to leave. And on the floor in the closet, my mom found this letter that she had written to another dude and this guy that she's in love with back in Oklahoma and how much she missed him here in New York. And after we dropped her off at the airport, my mom laid that on me. I said, oh, buddy, I am so effing sorry. I said, so I'll go shoot pool by myself. Yeah, so mom was like Inspector Clouseau.
Oh, what a nut. All right, gang, the mean moms, they're out there. Dad, not so mean. He's usually working and didn't really, you know, care enough to be an a-hole to you.
Dad just buys you stuff.
Yeah, dads are pretty cool. But moms can get real crazy, especially when those hormones get all nuts. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Conway and Whitman Show, and we're live on 97.1 Free FM. All right, it is the Conway and Whitman Show, and we're live at 97.1 Free FM. Was mom mean to you? An opportunity for you to get back at her by outing her on the air. Joaquin and Ventura, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
Yeah, so you guys are big studs. I just wanted to say that
real
quick.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, man.
I said it, man.
Very popular in Ventura.
So basically what happened was I missed the bus for summer school in about fourth grade, and I kind of blow it off like, yeah, Mom, it's no big deal. I'm walking down the hallway, and I notice this funny noise, and I turn around, and it's my mom running at me full speed. Just enough time to look at my door as she Luke hangs me through it. She jump kicked me through it, bro. Like, oh, Mom, it's just summer school. Get over it.
You went right through the door?
Oh, dude, right through it. Broke the lock.
That's pretty cool. Oh, all right, buddy. Thanks for calling.
Josh.
But see, nowadays you can't do that with the kids because they call 911. You get arrested.
Oh, no. His mom, for that act.
Should have gone to jail for years.
Absolutely.
And Joaquin would have been taken away from her.
The only time I remember missing the bus once because, you know, occasionally I'd be late. And I missed the bus. And my dad was a contractor. My dad was also a New York police officer. So my dad worked at night as a cop and then would get up, you know, after 4 hours of sleep and go paint people's houses. And I missed the bus. And my mom said to my dad, whose name is Barry, said, Barry, Brian missed the bus. Mm. And I heard, yes. I heard upstairs, I heard, damn it, you missed the bus. You know, I said, all right, get my truck. He said, but my dad now is like, you know, despite me, he goes, but I have to go to the tool rental shop first.
Uh-oh.
You're going to sit there and you're going to wait. So he drives to H&E Tool Rental on Staten Island. That's the name
of the
place.
There.
And I never
saw you're going to be late.
Yeah. Oh, I know I'm going to be late. And my dad was the kind of guy who didn't yell. My dad didn't yell at me, but I knew he was pissed. He shut that car door. He went into that tool rental. I swear he rented every tool they had on the shelf, you know. I got to school at, you know, 2 in the afternoon.
The worst is when you miss the school bus. Then mom or dad has to take you, and you know that you're not going to get there after the bus, and you're going to be a little late, and your whole day is thrown off.
Right.
You know, as a child, you can't deal with that.
It's kind of upsetting.
All right, let's talk to, is it IJ in L.A.? You're on 97.1. How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's your name?
IJ.
IJ, all right.
Yeah.
And what does that stand for, those initials for two other names?
Actually, my name is Eju in Korean, and a lot of people, you know, they can't pronounce that, so I just go with the first two letters, IJ.
There you go. All right, what do you get?
Actually, back in Korea, when I was about like 5 or 6, my mom, she would intentionally leave some like loose change and some like small bills on the table, and she would leave and see what I would do.
Right.
And I would take the money and go out and play arcade and stuff like that, buy candy and stuff like that. And when she comes back home, she knows the money's missing. And she would just drag my ass to the bathroom where the bathtub was full of water, and she would just grab me by the hair and just shove my head into the water.
Jerry, please.
Jesus Christ. Oh, wow. What, drown you almost?
It's like one of those things like you've seen, POW movie?
It's like waterboarding.
No, how about there's a scene in Halloween 2 where Michael Myers does that to a nurse?
And I mean, like, who was the woman in Texas who did that to her 5 kids?
Yes, gosh.
Stargate or something like
Andrea
that.
Andrea Yates.
Yates, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's crazy.
Oh,
like,
well, what are you doing now? Are you out of jail?
What was that?
Yeah, well, I mean, when that happens when you're a kid, usually, you know, in and out of jail.
Yeah, typically, how many dunks? I mean, you know, per offense, how many dunks under the water?
Let's see here. Probably like a good 4 or 5 times, maybe.
Oh,
how long would she hold you under for, dude?
A few seconds, like 2-3 seconds.
Did you straighten up after that?
No, she did that once again, and I did the same thing again.
All right, buddy. Listen, I know. I used to take money out of my mom's purse and go out to Santa Anita.
Yeah, but that's a calculated decision because that dude's at the arcade, like, playing skee ball thinking, I'm going to get home and be, like, waterboarded by Dick Cheney, my mother. But you know what? This skee ball is kind of fun, and I think I'll just play it and take the...
I know. It's tough.
Let the chips fall where they may.
All right. The meanest thing your mom ever did to you. Drew in Los Angeles. You're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, topic, man.
Hey. What do you got?
Okay, so when I was a kid, my stepmom, who I really like her now, but when we were kids, she didn't know what to do, and my older brother used to complain about her cooking all the time. And finally, my parents got to the point where she said, okay, we can't eat at the table with us. And this started when he was like 15, maybe 14 years old, and went on until he graduated. And in fact, he couldn't even eat our food in the refrigerator. He had to have his own food. Oh. He had to create his own food grocery list or whatever. But this is like a 15-year-old. He doesn't know from groceries.
Wait, and he just because he wasn't blood, he was a stepchild?
Well, you know, we were all her stepkids, but he just picked a lot of fights with her. But
wow.
This cooking thing was very, very personal. And, yeah, he could never eat at the table. In fact, when it was a special occasion and he did eat at the table with us, none of us knew how to act.
It was so foreign. It was like having a stranger at dinner.
It was like having a special guest at dinner. My older brother. Can you imagine?
Where did he eat? In the living room?
He would eat Kellogg's cornflakes downstairs in the basement, never came up, had horrible pimples on his face from all this dairy he was eating all the time. It was a nightmare.
You know what parents wonder? Drew, your call is so amazing. And Tim, mom and dads wonder why their kids turn out to be, you know, the Columbine kids who go and, you know, it's this crap. Really, honest to God, it is.
Well, I don't think it is. I think that this, what happened to that kid? Did he go in and out of jail or he straightened up?
No, my brother Phil, he was the younger, he's the second oldest. So he took it and became a doctor like my dad and bought bunches of cars, has lots of money, but he's horrible with women. he's got such terrible.
I wonder why.
I can't imagine.
Well, you know why? Because he takes him out to dinner and he says, I'll sit here, you sit across the restaurant.
That's what I'm saying, man.
All right, Drew, thanks for calling, man. Oh, Bobo, look at that guy. Well, the guy went on to be a doctor. You know, sometimes that happens.
Yeah, and I want to set the record. I don't want to suggest that all, you know, these Columbine, you know, that it's all bad parents, because obviously it's not. You know, the parents are just as shocked as anyone in a lot of those cases. But, I mean, abuse of children, and that's what, you know, is being described here. You know, you grow up to be a damaged adult, I think.
I think you do, and you got to learn how to control the damage. I mean, you cannot, you know, as an adult, you can't blame your childhood for everything. Like I've used this reference before, but it's the most radical one. That's why I keep using it. But I have an acquaintance who's an actor in Hollywood, mm-hmm. and if I told you what he was in, you'd probably recognize him. And he's a Jewish kid who's an actor. He's very good at what he does. And his older brother is a rabbi. His younger brother is on death row in New Jersey for killing a couple of guys in a liquor store holdup.
Oh my gosh!
All three of them were raised by the same parents.
Same mom and dad.
Same mom and dad. One's an actor, one's a rabbi, and one's on death row.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's like rolling the dice at craps. You never know what's coming up.
Yeah. Who are they most ashamed of?
The actor. By far. Javier in Los Angeles, show 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, guys. How you doing, guys?
Hey. All right.
Hey, listen. Funny story. I was like about 10 years old, and I stole some money from my parents, from my mom, actually. And I went to spend it, you know, big time. I bought all kinds of things. You know, when I came back. And my mom, she's furious because, you know, there's 20 pesos. This is in Mexico. 20 pesos missing from her, you know, where she hid it. Anyway, make a long story short, she tried to get it out of us who stole the money. Hmm. And it's about four of us, me and my younger brothers, trying to get us to tell her who stole the money. I never told. So she had us kneel down for 2 hours. Holding a rock, a heavy rock on each hand for 2 hours. We're crying, we're sweating. We cannot drop the rocks because if we did, she had this whip. She wet the whip. If we ever dropped one of the rocks, she would hit us in the back big time.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Of course, I never told them. I never told her that I took the money. But I got a kick out of it.
Right. That's a great story, is what that is.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling, Javier. It is fun.
That's a great story.
It is fun when you do something and your brother or sister take the punishment, take the rap for it.
Oh, like, but you did it?
Yeah. Like I was in. We were in. In St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York, I was with my mom, and my mom was sort of a nut that way. Wherever she went to, like, a new city, we had to go to the local church and kneel down in front and pray
A lot of religious people are like that. That's not that uncommon.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even during a Sunday Mass. It's just like, oh, it's a Thursday. We're in New York. You got to go visit St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Okay.
So we're sitting there, and my three brothers, my sister, my mom, myself— And we're all kneeling at the front. Nobody's in the church.
Dad not there?
Dad's not there. Dad passed. not a single person in the church other than us, right? Mm-hmm. And I ripped the biggest fart ever. It is just a major fart that echoes throughout St. Patrick. I think it's still echoing throughout the chambers.
Now, you couldn't help it, or you kind of pushed it?
I was, you know, 11. I probably, you know, helped it out. So the moment I let it go, I go, "Oh, Kelly, what's wrong with you?" And my mom smacked her. Gave her one right in the back of the head, right in church.
Did your sister defend herself and say it wasn't me? Or
I think she just knew, you know.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah. No, she did say it wasn't me. Yeah, how dare you, Ma? It wasn't me. It was all ran out of this church.
Oh, she did a big thing.
Oh, I felt like such an a-hole. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back with more of the meanest moms on the planet. 520-9710, 888-520-9710. At 9 o'clock, we got the news. Then around 9:15, Coach Dave will break down the weekend NFL games.
Yeah, we talked last night.
Four big games coming up this weekend.
The big Giants-Cowboys game.
Yeah, man. And the San Diego Chargers are in the playoffs as well. So Seattle, Green Bay, Indianapolis, New England. I guess it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I think it does matter. There's going to be a lot of four great games this weekend. I'm looking forward to it.
Coach Dave would be all over it.
All right. I wish I worked with some guys who knew the game.
What?
It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM.
Tim, I'm here. I'm right next to you. I hear the stuff you say.
Everybody, it is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. The meanest mom on the planet, Helen, in Los Angeles. You're on
97.1. I'm on the phone. Thank
yes, you are. You're on the air.
Oh, here. You just handed it to me. Thank you.
All right. All right. Again,
I can't hear you because I'm on the phone. I'm sorry.
Ma'am?
All right.
Ma'am?
Hello?
Ma'am?
Yes.
Yeah, can you get it together?
I've said on the air a few times, and it's worth repeating now that you're on the phone. We're hosting a radio program with thousands and thousands of listeners. We would ask that when you call in to participate, if even just for 3 minutes, we be the focus, the prime focus of your attention.
Right, let's get to your story. What do you got?
Woo! You know what? I was waiting for a half an hour. I had to go shopping, and someone just...
Good night. Steven Arcadia, you're on 97.1.
Oh, you guys are the best, man.
All right, what do you got?
Hey, you got my undivided attention. All right. My mom used to cook really gross food when I was growing up, and she'd set the alarm on, like, the oven or something for, like,
my brother,
a half
Jamie?
Hour. And if I didn't eat it, my dad would beat me.
Oh, God.
And you know what was worse? The food was so gross. I think the beating was just as bad.
you almost rather take the beating sometimes. I remember my brother Jamie went downstairs, and when my mom said go to bed, you go to bed.
Right.
There's no effing around with I need another half hour. I'm going to watch Emergency or Brady Bunch. But
you're out.
You went to bed. So my brother tries to sneak down to the kitchen, and he's probably about 10 or 11 years old, and he's down there and he's making toast. Right. And all of a sudden you hear, bing, the toaster oven goes off. Right. My mom comes to the top of the stairs. She goes, "Who the F is down there?" And he goes, "It's me, Mom." And she goes, "Who the Christ is me? I've got six me's." And he said, "It's Jamie." She goes, "Jamie, you get your effing ass up here." And he's like, "Well, I'm hungry." She goes, "I don't give an F if you're hungry or not. You get your ass up here." And he goes, "I'm just trying to have a piece of toast." Poor kid was hungry, just trying to have a slice of toast, man.
Parenting has come such a long way.
Oh, babu.
We used to go camping. I'll tell the story in 30 seconds. And we would sit at outdoor campsites, you know. And we had pancakes one morning with my cousins. And my cousin Steven insisted that he apply his own maple syrup to his pancakes.
Right.
And my Uncle John, his father's like a Swedish dude who was, you know, a disciplinarian. He says, "Steven, let me do it. You don't know how to squeeze that bottle. The syrup's going to come all out." And he goes, no, Dad, I can do it." Squeezes it. Syrup everywhere. Covers the plate. You can barely see the pancakes. My uncle says, enjoy it.
And eat the whole thing?
Enjoy every drop of it.
That's classy. All right, news at 9, and then we have Coach Dave coming in shortly after that to talk about the NFL this weekend. Open phones at 10. What more can you ask for, man? It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.